In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I just finished another visit to a prison, and in order to cross me up completely, it went pretty much exactly according to plan. That's actually a rare thing in prison ministry, and it's nice to have that happen once in a while. I also met, again, a former chaplain who is now volunteering there. He was a chaplain years ago, and I really loved him dearly and worked with him very closely as a peer. And it was a joy to work with him then, and now it's even better to see him now. He told me that a few years ago he was clinically dead because he was in a car accident and almost went into a pond. He was hit by a deer. The deer went through the driver's side, or excuse me, the passenger side, and boogered up his shoulder, and the car rolled, and by the grace of God, he hit a tree. If he hadn't hit the tree, he would have gone into a pond and died. But a trooper was right behind him, so he got medical care immediately. Even so, they said that he was dead. So they were bringing him to the morgue, and somehow somebody stood on his hand or something, and he said, "Get off me." And then they realized he was alive. He doesn't remember this. He was told that happened. And then he was in a coma for 3 months. And he told me that at the end of that coma, he had a vision in which basically he was saying to the Lord, "I surrender everything. I have no power anyway. Any power I ever thought I had, I really didn't. And I just give everything to you." Then he heard some sort of voice that said, "I've been waiting for that." And then he came out of the coma. Pretty amazing stuff. Slava Bogu. Glory be to God. I wanted to read about St. Mary of Egypt because today we're going to celebrate it tonight at the church. So I wanted to read the entire life and do a little bit of the canon of St. Andrew, and that's what I ended up doing. So first I explained to them a little bit about the life of St. Mary sort of in summary so that when they heard me read it, and I also gave them copies that they could read along with, they would understand it better. And I read the first ode of the canon of St. Andrew of Crete. And then I actually read the first half of St. Mary, then the old one, and then the second half of St. Mary. And then a little bit of the old two because we were running out of time. They were quite impressed by it. And we were talking about how this canon really gives us an opportunity to just be completely honest about ourselves and about our delusions and about our sins. And a person asked a very good question. I get a lot of good questions. And this one was, how does a guy who's not honest with himself find that out? That's a good question. That's the $24,000 question. And really, by the grace of God is the answer. And by studying the commandments in order to follow them, by trying to live a Christian life, by struggling against our passions. And then the things that we don't know are revealed to us. It's not an easy thing. And St. Mary is a good example of someone that knew nothing about her sin until it was revealed to her. And then she certainly repented. Also, I was telling them that the most important books for them to read are the Gospels and also the Psalter. And one of the guys said, "Well, when I read the Psalter, I don't understand it at all. It's just very hard for me to understand." And I said, "Well, that's okay. You just keep reading it. Keep reading it every day and keep struggling to follow the commandments. And you will start to understand the Psalter." Then we talked about the life of St. Mary and also about the canon. And lots of details about the life of St. Mary. And then, this is full disclosure here, this is what I was going to talk to them about as well, but we ran out of time, so I'll just do it now. I covered a couple of these points, but I don't remember which ones. I marked with a little marker some of the verses of the canon that I read, and I wanted to talk to them about it. And the first one that I marked was, "I have willfully incurred the guilt of Cain's murder, since by invigorating my flesh I am the murderer of my soul's awareness and have warred against it by my evil deeds." That's from Ode 1. I stress this to them all the time, that when we sin, we lose awareness of God. And as St. Andrew says, he's the murderer of his soul's awareness because of his sins. That's a critical thing. Sin makes you stupid. And we have to understand that. We have to understand that the consequences of sin are not punishment. They are a natural consequence of what we do. Just as jumping off a cliff, it's not a punishment that you hit the ground. It's just going to happen. In the same way with sin, we will not know God if we sin. We will be far away from God if we sin. And if we sin enough and are ignorant enough of God, we will not be with God in the next life. Sin causes death. And we are the ones killing ourselves with our sin. Also, this verse in the first ode, I confess to thee, O Savior, the sins I have committed and the wounds of my body and soul, which murderous thoughts like robbers have inflicted upon me. And of course, that is a reference to the parable of the Good Samaritan, the person going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he's assaulted by robbers and left half dead. Well, murderous thoughts, that is, any bad thoughts, are like robbers, which leave us half dead. And the wonderful thing about these verses and so many of our prayers is that we're just telling the truth about ourselves. We're not pretending to be anything. This is not a Hollywood movie where we're pretending to be something. We are just stating the facts about ourselves. Here's another verse right after that. I have sinned, O Savior, yet I know that thou art the lover of man. Thou strikest compassionately and pitiest warmly. Thou seest me weeping and runnest towards me as a father recalling the prodigal. And of course, that's a reference to the prodigal son. And this aspect of our prayer is in thousands of our prayers. I've never seen it really so distinct, except in the Orthodox Church. And that is, I'm a terrible sinner, yet I know that thou art the lover of man. I am a wretch, and yet thou wilt forgive me. I am nothing, and yet thou wilt make me something. It's constantly this dichotomy of how terrible I am and how good God is, and the great confidence we have when we're praying to God and telling him how sinful we are. It is very freeing for us to be able to say that. We talked about the yoke of sin, such as in the 16th stikera of the Ode 1. O Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of all, take from me the heavy yoke of sin, and in thy compassion grant me tears of compunction. That's a reference, of course, to where the Lord says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And our Lord's yoke truly is light and easy, but sin is not. Sin enslaves us. And really, we have no power over sin. God has power over sin. That's why we continually tell him that we are sinful and beg him for his help. It's as simple as that. Really, when we're so overwhelmed with our sins, all we need do is beg God to help us. And God will help us. I also referenced in Song 2, the 4th Stikeron, a storm of passions besets me, O compassionate Lord, but stretch out thy hand to me too, as to Peter. Of course, that references when Peter saw the Lord coming at the fourth watch of the night and said, if it's you, bid me to come out on the waves to you. And of course, he got out on the waves, and then he saw the wind and saw the waves and felt the wind, and he was afraid, started to sink. So he said, Lord, save me. And of course, the Lord did. This is our life in microcosm if we're faithful Christians. Many times, things are beyond our abilities, but the Lord is always near to us. We reach out to him and say, save. I've been in many opportunities or circumstances when I was quite overwhelmed by my sins and the sins of others. Since I'm a pastor, I have to deal with the sins of others, and sometimes I had no idea what to do. Well, the Lord is always nearby. We can always reach out and say, save me. And here's another one that I've spoken of before. It's one of my favorites from the canon. All the demon chiefs of the passions have plowed on my back, and long has their tyranny over me lasted. It's always been very meaningful to me because the demons do things many times that we are not aware of. They're plowing over our back, but we don't see the furrows that they make. Sometimes we feel them, but we don't see everything that's wrong with us. The demons delude us greatly, and we do not see it. But God can reveal it to us. That's the beauty of repentance. All we need to do is say, Lord, I'm a wretch, I'm terrible, I'm a worm. And at the same time we're saying this, we know that He is our Father and loves us and will not abandon us. Another Stikeren from the second ode, I have buried with passions the beauty of the original image, O Savior, but seek and find it like the lost coin. Of course, that's the parable of that lost coin that is found. Of course, the coin has an image on it, and that image is, in the case of the parable, the image of God, which is within us. And our pleasure-loving desires deforms us. Our passions deform us. Our passions cover up that image, but they cannot destroy the image. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. The man is left half dead on the side of the road. Not dead, but half dead. Because the demons cannot kill us. The image of God remains within us. It is always possible for us to regain the full luminous light of God within us. Here's another one. People sometimes come to me and they talk about how I do the same thing over and over again, and I don't really know if I repent, and I'm a terrible person, and all the rest. It's good to know you're a terrible person, but it's bad to think I'm a terrible person, so I've got no chance. Instead, here's what we say, what St. Andrew says. No tears, no repentance have I, no compunction, but as God, O Savior, grant me these. It's pretty simple. I don't even know how to repent. I don't know how to cry. I don't know how to be sorry. I don't know how to feel compunction. But as God, grant me these. It's really as simple as that. Of course, we can only do these kinds of things if we are struggling. If we're not struggling, then these prayers have no power within us. We have to struggle. It doesn't mean that you're succeeding. You just have to be struggling. That's the most important thing, is to struggle. To struggle with humility and to struggle with certainty that God will help you. And here's one more. Oh, how I have emulated that old murderer Lamech. By my pleasure-loving cravings, I have killed my soul as the man, my mind as the young man, and my body as my brother, like Cain the murderer. And of course, Lamech was a murderer. And so St. Andrew is using the image of Lamech for saying, we kill ourselves with our sins. And we must have compassion, or not compassion, that's the wrong word. We must have compunction about our sins. What you hear in the background is a boat, because I'm sitting right now at the mouth of the Basque River, enjoying the sun and recording this. It's important to read this canon of St. Andrew. It's important to hear it at church. It's important to hear the life of St. Mary and really take it to heart. My guys really, really enjoyed it. In fact, they enjoyed it so much that next week, I think I'm going to read it, even though it'll be past the time, for the other guys that I visit, because I think it's very, very important. It was a good visit, thank God. Oh, I was also given a gift of some Bibles. So I was able to distribute some Bibles, the Orthodox Study Bible, to a bunch of them. And I'm glad for that great gift. So we're now able to, pretty much everybody's got a prayer book and a Psalter and Orthodox Study Bible. And we've got enough funds now that we should be able to get some more and be able to supply any newcomers. Now there are 3 people in this prison and I think 4 in the other that have declared that they want to become catechumens. So I'm working with my little Pooh Bear brain to try to get ready to get them ready to become catechumens and then catechize them and baptize them sometime in the future. May God bless us and help us in everything. Amen. I